The great Tina Turner question. The great Tina Turner question. In what might be called a lectionary anomaly, today's gospel reading, Luke 2, 22 to 40, the presentation of Jesus in the temple, is also the gospel reading for Candlemas. As I expect you are aware, as I've just announced indeed, Candlemas is to be celebrated in this very church. In accordance with the tradition, this coming Wednesday, the 2nd of February at 7:30, led by our incumbent Sean, entirely by candlelight. Being the junior member of the ordained ministry team, I'm reluctant to preempt Sean's sermon. Accordingly, I should be focusing my attention on today's epistle, Paul's great treatise on love, 1 Corinthians 13, 1-13. I don't doubt you'll be familiar with this passage, used as often as it is at the weddings and indeed two funerals of which I've taken in the past few months. Reflecting on this passage, our church, the communities of which we are a part, parochial, local, national and international, with their growing issues of emptying churches, if you're here today, rising fuel and food costs, teetering prime ministers, is he still in office, raising inflation and military build-ups, we may legitimately ask ourselves, how do I put it? The great Tina Turner question, if you remember, I think we're old enough to remember, what's love got to do with it? What's love but a secondhand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? I shan't sing it. I.e., what's love got to do with the particularities and the generalities of life? Difficult, isn't it? Okay, so here are some ideas that might help. I can say with confidence that I love clear sunny days in winter. Hooray, one such today. My wife, who's present, my children, sharing a meal, storms on the sea, even when I'm in a boat, my close friends and parishioners, and of course, God. I love the personality and form of my wife, the power and grandeur of a storm, the cold realism of winter, very Protestant, the laughter and growth of my children, the smile and touch of friends, the flavour and anticipation of food, the eternity and presence of God. We kind of know, I think, in the pit of our stomach, this is the right word for these things, well, most of them. But how can they be the same word? It's ridiculous. Think of our human marital relationships. Love changes year by year, sickness by sickness, poor patch by poor patch, in bitter times as well as in sweet. It changes, I suppose, like a tree, seed to delicate seedling, bendy sapling to strong tree, bare winter apparel to rich autumn fruit. And yet the sapling looks little like the final part, the final plant, and yet both are a tree. Which is kind of worrying because we're commanded, as we've just heard week by week, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. So we are unequivocally loved by God and called by God to love, yet we remain unable to properly define love, nor yet fully understand its meaning or purpose in the world at large. So we're left with the delectable Ms. Turner's eternal question, what's love got to do with it? So as we should do in all these occasions, let's resort to scripture, theology, and the teachings of the church. Firstly, of course, God is love. 1 John 4, chapter 4, verse 16. Every Christian, and indeed many non-Christians, I think, can agree on that. God is love. But unfortunately, if we've not understood what love is, we surely will not perhaps understand who God is. This may be a fair misunderstanding because, to be honest, the English language is pretty poor when it comes to the word love. We've only got the one word for love. The ancient Greek had four words. Agape referred to the deeper sense of true love, self-giving love. I guess we can recognize that. And certainly it has a role to play in life. Then there's eros, passionate, sensual, loving, intimate, not always sexual, but often. We can recognize this too has a place in human relationships. Philia, the love that speaks of loyalty in community, that has its place in the communities of which we are a part. and have highly staunched the love of the natural, instinctive, built-in salt. We can see that in nature all around us, especially as birds begin to nest. Further, God has already revealed to us the answer to the Tina Turner question, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, often read out at the BCP service, 1 John 4:10. Paul writes elsewhere, he proves his love, agape, for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God did not wait until we demonstrated our love towards him. He poured out his love for us while we were still sinners. This total act of divine self-giving is a great mystery. Indeed, it almost seems that such love contradicts God's very nature. God, who needs nothing from us, gives everything for us. Jesus. Death on the cross is the culmination of that turning of God against himself, in which he gives himself in order to raise up mankind and save mankind. This is love in its most incredibly radical form, a love that has transformed the world and filled this church today. The foregoing is certainly true and most worthy of our careful thought and discussion. But will it really be able to enable any of us to answer the great Tina Turner question, what's love got to do with it? As it arises on a wet, let's say, Wednesday afternoon, when you're tired, when your spouse wants to go out because you haven't been out and had meaningful time together in ages, but you are just desperate to put your feet up, so you end up arguing. When you help at the food bank, but see no end to the queue. When you pray for sunshine and rain falls heavily on your fields. You know, I'm not sure we can ever truly comprehend love. Further, I'm not sure that love is something we should ever really seek to closely define. In truth, love is a practical skill, learned and recognized not by rote, but by practice. We're not called so much to comprehend love, but to live it out in our lives. That's the best, therefore, we can do on that wet Wednesday afternoon, is to learn what love looks like, how it is recognized, and in so doing, how love is lived. Then, when we begin to lose focus and ask ourselves, what's love got to do with it, we can reach out and touch and remind ourselves it is always there. It always was. And we can know its function and extent only by experience. Love can be lived as this. Be kind. Be patient. Be not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Do not insist on your own way. Be not irritable or resentful. Do not rejoice in wrongdoing. Rejoice rather in truth. Bear all things. Believe all things. Hope all things. Endure all things. Never end. Live like this, and we can surely look Miss Turner in the eye and say of love, it's got to do with everything. Amen.